إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, today is the last day of the Leadership Excellence course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us, inshallah. I remind myself and you that one day it will also be our last day on this planet, our last day in this life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that last day the best day of our lives. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and made dua, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make the last day the best day of my life, and the last of my actions the best of my actions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a good dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam by teaching us how to make dua. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua. In Surah Al-Fatiha, if you read the whole surah with understanding, the surah is dua, the surah is tawbah, the surah is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluh. And in the Hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the slave when he recites a Surah Al-Fatiha, ayah by ayah. And that is the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah was to recite the surah one ayah at a time. And in this surah, after glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after mentioning the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahmanur Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah, the slave then reminds himself about the fact that one day he will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says Malik Yawmiddin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik of the day of recompense, the day of resurrection, the day of getting the payment for the life that we have lived. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our faults and to cover us with His rahmah and to cover us with His barakah and to give us on that day the best of rewards in keeping with His majesty and grace. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua, which begins with Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, where we reiterate and we confirm and we emphasize and we mention and we remember and we remind that, O Allah, I am yours. O Allah, I am yours. O Allah, I worship no one other than you. O Allah, I don't ask from anyone other than you. And if you think and reflect, if you were to go to somebody with whom you have an association, with whom you have a connection, the head of a tribe, the head of a clan, the head of a nation with whom you have a connection, and you want to ask that person for a favor, then the first thing you do is to remind about that connection. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need reminders. The reminder is for us. But we remind about this connection. And we say that, I am from your clan. I am from your tribe. Do you remember me? I am so and so. Now, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not have to say, do you remember me? But effectively, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in is to re-establish that connection of the abd with the Rabb. The connection of ubudiyat, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of His wahdaniyat. Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And we establish this connection before we ask for what we want to ask. O Allah, I worship only you and I ask only from you. Therefore, I am asking you, so give me. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. O Allah, guide me to the path of steadfastness. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the task is not to reach a destination. The task is to stay on the path. If you stay on the path, then inshallah we will reach the destination. The task is to stay on the path on a day by day basis to check ourselves and to correct ourselves if we are wandering, and to check ourselves and ensure that we do not stray away from the path. The task is to stay on the path. And that is the whole essence of Islam, is to stay on the path. The path of the rightly guided people. And for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us what is that path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask for this. Told us to ask for this path. He told us to ask for this particular path, which is the path of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Now, who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give His inam to? Anamallahu alayhim minan nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada'i wa salihin. Wa hasuna ula'ika rafiqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the inam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for the nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada'i wa salihin. And they are the best of companions. The path of rightly guided people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim, innaka laminal mursaleen ala siratul mustaqim. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, siratul ladhina an'amta alayhim, who are we, which path are we asking for? Ask yourself this question. When we say Sirat al-Mustaqim, which Sirat is this? It is the Sirat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the path of the rightly guided, the best of whom is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this path is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, to remain steadfast, to remain on Siratul Mustaqim is the goal. How do you know that you are on the Siratul Mustaqim? What is the Siratul Mustaqim? The Siratul Mustaqim is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiate in the Sunnah to say this is more important, that is less important? Take the more important, leave the less important? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the life, the entire life of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example to us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فَهُمْ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For the one who يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, who looks forward to the meeting with Allah. Please understand, everybody will meet Allah. Whether you like to meet Allah or you don't like to meet Allah, we all will meet Allah. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using this term, Yarjullah? The one who looks forward to meeting with Allah. Who looks forward to meeting with anybody? Who looks forward to any meeting? The one who expects a good return, a good result from that meeting. Nobody looks forward to a meeting with your boss where you're going to get fired and, you know, or you don't look forward to your meeting with whoever. We look forward to a meeting where we expect a good return. And therefore, who are the people who, inshallah, will look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The muttaqeen. The people who have stayed or tried to stay on as-siratul mustaqeen. I'm trying to draw the connection between these things. And that's why when we read Surah Al-Fatiha, we should read it with understanding, and we should read the whole Quran with understanding, but at least minimum Surah Al-Fatiha with understanding, so that we know what we are saying and we link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Siratul Mustaqim, and that Siratul Mustaqim is where we are linking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who stays on Siratul Mustaqim then looks forward to that destination to which Siratul Mustaqim leads, which is insha'Allah al-musta'an Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. We ask Allah for this. Yarjullah wal yawm al-akhirah wa zakar Allah kaseera. And the zakar Allah kaseera is the quality of that person. The person who looks forward to the meeting of Allah is a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal, constantly in his life, in her life, in what they say, in what they do, in how they act, in how they behave. All of these things, they do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean to use a counter or a tasbih and, you know, beads. No. Zikr of Allah is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing us, to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing us, to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all our intentions, whatever and wherever they may be. And this remembrance has two benefits, as I have mentioned before. One is this remembrance keeps you free from sin, protects you from sin, because obviously you cannot be committing a sin while remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And second thing is, it's a source of great comfort for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware that of me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, and so on. And therefore we quite rightly look forward to the protection and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we do. And that's the benefit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that again, as we continue in the surah to the last ayah where we say, and that's part of the last ayah, Sirat al-Ladina anamta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin. So the translation, as we usually do, is with maghdubi alayhim, we say the Jewish people, and dallin, we say the Christians. But I remind myself and you that if Allah wanted to say Jews and Christians, He would have said Jews and Christians. Right? He would have said Jews and Christians. There was no need for Him to say maghdubi alayhim and dallin. Maghdubi alayhim is anybody who does anything which attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All forms of fisq and fujur, all forms of rebelliousness, all forms of going deliberately against the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are things which attract the anger of Allah. So anyone who does those things, may Allah protect us from that, would be counted among the people who attracted the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever they might be. And this does not take our Muslims out of it. This is, Muslims are very much part of the people who will be counted. We ask Allah not to count us among the maghdub alayhim and not to be angry with us. But if we insist on living the lives, the kind of lives we live, of deliberate disobedience and deliberate rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our actions and deeds, then we should be warned. And that's the reason why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullahi said that Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. And I will tell you in a minute how it is tawbah and how he explained it. And then we come to dallin. And dallin again is not Christians. Dallin is anyone who has gone astray, anyone who has misguided himself. When a lot of misguidance, do remember, a lot of misguidance is the result of good intentions. You know, very paradoxically, I mean, this is, it begins with a good thing. You know, oh, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, and then I raise his darajat, I start praising him, and I say things which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worthy of all the praise that we can praise. But if we take this praise to a level where now we are making the boundaries between the Rabb and the Abd foggy, then there is a major issue. Then there is a major issue of shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. And this refers, I am saying Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this refers to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or anybody for that matter. Whoever we have people who, incidentally, on a side note, we use this term saints, right, in Islam also. Please understand, these are, all of this terminology is Christian theological terminology. There are no saints in Islam. We do not have sainthood and we do not have saints, right? We have ulama, we have, when we say awliya Allah, These are, again, when we say awliya, we as individuals do not have a right to give the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whoever we like, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who are his awliya. We know that Allah has awliya because Allah said this. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And we ask Allah to include all of us among his awliya, inshallah. Because he put this as a condition. Alladhina kanu, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Who are the awliya? The people who have iman and who have taqwa. We ask Allah to include us among his awliya. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awliya of different darajat. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's matter. We leave it to him. Allah did not send us to decide whether Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani is a bigger wali than so and so and so and so. This is not our job. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani and others among the highest stations in Jannah, to include them among his awliya, to bless them with the best of the best, to fill their qubur with noor and to be pleased with them. Alhamdulillah, we do this dua for everybody. Alhamdulillah. So let us not step out of our boundaries by designating X, Y, Z as the wali of Allah. No. We hope, inshallah, that Allah will include them among his awliya, and this is what we ask for ourselves also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore said the issue of dhalin, the people who are misguided. And as I said, many times misguidance comes in the guise of good things. It comes in the guise of good intentions. Whereas the actual place it leads to is not a good place. So just having a good intention alone is not sufficient. All good intentions must lead to actions which are within the purview of the Sharia of Islam. If the good intention leads to an action which is taking you out of the Sharia of Islam, then this good intention will not suffice for that action. That action will then be culpable and will then be punishable, and we ask Allah to save us from such actions and not to punish us, inshallah. So, Maghdubi alayhim and Dhalin. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullah alayhi, he said that when the slave recites this surah, he is making dua and he is making tawbah. And he said surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. And he said when the person says, Ghairil Maghdubi alayhim, he is making tawbah. First of all, he started from Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. He said when he's saying Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, he is making tawbah to say that if I was ever worshipping anything other than Allah, and remember worship, obedience is worship. Worship is not only to go and make sajda to something. Obedience, sajda is a symbol of obedience. It is the last and final and the most complete symbol of obedience, and which is why the sajda is haram to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. But ibadah is obedience. So therefore, obeying others, contradicting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not obedience by itself. It's obedience when that obedience goes against the order of Allah. This falls into the purview of going against, when we say Iyyaka na'bud, then we are not worshipping Allah, we are worshipping something else. What is the proof of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Nabi, have you not seen those who worship their desires, who have made their desires their ilah? Specifically, Allah mentioned the term worship with regard to desires. And he said, are you going to be a wakil for them? And he said, they are like animals and they are worse than animals. So therefore, Iyaka na'bud is the person is making tawbah to say, O Allah, I worship only you, I obey only you, I will not contradict your order, I will not obey my nafs in opposition to your order, and so forth. And that's why the slave makes tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to do this in 5 salawat in the day, in every rakat of every salah. Iyaka nasta'in, the same thing, where the slave says, O Allah, I ask help only from you. And there again, he and she makes tawbah if they have been asking help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, in the issue of help, it is not prohibited to ask the help of people who are living, who are alive. If you ask somebody, please help me to do this, help me to do that, there is no problem, alhamdulillah, that is not shirk. But to ask the help of the dead,
to ask help from things in the ghaib, this is clearly shirk. And then, of course, if you want to go a step further, the issue of taqwa, that's why we are here. We are not here to learn how to do the minimum, we know that. We are here to learn how to go beyond the minimum. And the people of taqwa and iman, they considered even asking help from others than Allah, even if they are alive, to be something that they did not want to do. So they asked only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 70,000 of my ummah will be entered into the Jannah bi ghairi hisab. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? He said, they are the mutawakkilun. He said, they are the ones who have tawakkul on Allah and who do not rely on anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, they are the ones who do not wear amulets, who do not wear taweez. Please notice, he did not say they do not wear taweez with anything other than the Quran written in it. He did not qualify this. Because we make this thing, oh, but you see, my taweez has Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that. He said, the ones who do not wear taweez, whether it has Quran or doesn't have Quran, is not part of that hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not qualify that statement. So one sahabi stood up, he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua, I should be part of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are part of them. Another one stood up, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. The one who has gone ahead has gone ahead. So he made the dua for that one sahabi who stood up and asked for it. To do sabqat, to race, to try to do good deeds, to be eager to do good deeds. This is part of a sign of iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So when we make this dua, Allah taught us how to make dua. And when we make Surah Al-Fatiha is dua. And as I said, when we make this dua, let us understand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. He said, ask me, I will give you. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us learn how to make dua. Let us make dua in a way which makes this dua acceptable. And the conditions of this, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in Surah Al-Fatiha, He taught us also in Surah Maryam, in the ayat relating to the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, and He taught us in various other places, the conditions of dua for acceptance are as follows. One is to glorify, is to speak about the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To begin with that. You glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you speak about the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you speak about your own weakness and your own lack of resources and your own helplessness. If you see the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam in Surah Al-Maryam, which Allah mentioned, Allah said, Nida'an khafiyya. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very small voice. A man came into Masjid al-Nabawi and he started making dua loudly. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there. He told the man, he said, your Rabb is not deaf. You don't have to shout like this. Yeah? He said, your Rabb is not deaf. Approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. Don't yell and scream and, you know. Approach Allah with humility. So, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about your own weakness, and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without limit. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His power. Zakariya alayhi salam is very old. And he has no children. He wants to have a son. He sees Maryam alayhi salam, he is her kafil, he is her uncle, he takes care of her. And he sees her in ibadah, in her hujra, in her room. And when he goes there, when he goes out, he locks the room from outside for her own safety. And when he comes back and he opens the room from outside, he finds there is fruit in the room which is out of season. First of all, it is fresh fruit. Second thing, it is out of season fruit. So he asks her, from where? Anna laki hadha, where did this come from? And she says, this is from my Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send fruit for her from the Jannah. So Zakariya alayhi salam, what does he do? When he sees this happening, he said, well, if she can have it, I can have it. So he stands in salah, he makes dua, nida an khafiya, small voice, Oh Allah, my hair has become white. Oh Allah, my bones have become weak. Oh Allah, my wife, she is beyond the age of childbirth. She is an old woman. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about his own weakness, and then he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son. Why? Because I own all this property, I have to leave it to him. Is that why he's asking? No. He's a Nabi of Allah. What is the virasat of the Anbiya? The work of Dawah. The work of Dawah. Right? The knowledge, the ilm, for the purpose of presenting Islam to the world. So what is Zakariya alayhi salam, what is he saying? He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son. Did he say, oh Allah, give me a second wife, 16 years old, and give me a son from her? No. My wife is old, past the age of childbirth, but oh Allah, you are the one who can bring a female pregnant camel out of a rock. What do conditions matter to you? You are the creator of conditions. Whether the woman is old or young is immaterial as far as you are concerned. Whether I am old or young is immaterial as far as you are concerned. If you want to give a son, you can give a son. This is a condition of dua, that you ask dua in keeping with the magnificence and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get, for example, if somebody is sick, right? You make dua, oh Allah, please cure the sickness. But you are saying, you know, but I went to the doctor and the doctor said there is no cure. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Doctor knows more, Allah knows more. So in the mind is all this doubt and this, no, but you know this already happened. No, that happened. Then why do you go to Allah? Why do you go to Allah? You go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you want to get out of all of these things. You know, in Jeddah, in Tahliya Street, there is a building. It's all glass and it's sort of curved like this and so on. And somebody told me an interesting story. Wallahu a'lam, if it is true or not. But anyway, they told me the story. They said that the man who built this building, at that time King Fahd was the king, and King Abdullah at that time was the crown prince, Amir Abdullah. So he said the man who owned this building, he was trying to buy that piece of land to build this structure and so on. And he was, you know, he hit a lot of red tape. I mean, you know, all sorts of people not giving permission, this, that, giving him a lot of hard time. He said one day, was somehow, this man was in the presence of the crown prince at that time, Abdullah bin Abdulaziz. So he said to him, he went to him, he said, yeah, Amir, this is the issue. I need this piece of land to build this building, and people are giving me a hard time. So I believe Prince Abdullah said, find me a piece of paper. So it was a banquet. So the man found, he picked up a serviette, right? He gave it to him. Abdullah wrote on the serviette, give him the land, and signed it, and he said, take this. Next day he got the land. Now my point is, did the man go there with all the land documents, with all the papers, and say, clerk said this, and this officer said this, and so on. You're going to the king, you don't care who said what. Right? You're going to the king, you don't care who said what. You go to the king, why? Because you want to get out of all this rubbish which is happening. Now, ta'ala Allahu al-amsal, we don't compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anybody. But I'm saying, when we make dua, don't make dua like some miserable creature who doesn't understand their own position. Dua, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget whatever anybody told you, to hell with all of them. Who cares? Let them say anything. We ask Allah and we go to Allah. Ask Allah. You say, Ya Allah, I came to you because this is beyond me. If I could do it, I would have done it. You know, if I can do it on my own, then why do I need Allah? I come to you because I can do it. When all of my tadabir, when all of my means fail, then I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is musabbibul asbab, who is the creator of the means. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His magnificence and grace.
And finally, and most importantly, bracket the dua with salat and salam on Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua which has salat and salam on me before and after, Allah will not reject it. So, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak about your own weakness. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. speak about your own weakness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in keeping with His grace and magnificence, send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and close the dua. And follow this inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our duas and to be pleased with us and to help us understand that the dua itself is ibadah, and to reward us for this dua and to accept the dua.
Today when we are going away from here, please understand, you did not come to this course to gain knowledge. Nobody promised you that you will get knowledge. You came to this course to acquire habits. If you read what the LEC is about, what does it say? It is not an Alamiya course. It is an Amaliya course. Right? It's not an Alimiya course. It's an Amaliya course. It's a course for us to change our lives, to change our Amal. And that is what I want you to think about, make dua for, and take away from here and say, what new Amal will I do? What will I do differently from what I was doing till now? How will I change my life going forward from now? I think that is a very important thing for us to keep in mind and to take away from here actions, inshallah, that we will follow for the rest of our lives without any change. And the most important of those actions is tahajjud. Is tahajjud. Make this niyyah that inshallah you will not miss tahajjud ever. From today until the last day of your life. You make this niyyah inshallah. Then inshallah I make dua for you that when your last day comes and when it is time for you to go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your soul when you are in tahajjud, in a state of sujood inshallah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is impossible. And we ask this dua, keeping in mind that only He can do this, and He has the power to do this, and He said, Ud'uni, ask me, astajib lakum, I will give you. So therefore, O Allah, we ask you, you give us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, and to accept all your amal, and to reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace, not in keeping with your amal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all sins, to protect you from all kinds of threats, to protect you from all kinds of insecurity, to fill your life with His noor, with His barakah, to make you succeed beyond your wildest dreams, to accept your du'as and fill your du'as with khair, to fill your life with the sunnah and the barakah of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased with you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you while you live and to be pleased with you when you die and to be pleased with you when you are resurrected before Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of His arsh on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ruya of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dream while you live and to show you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to make you among those who will meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of khair on the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant and to decree that you receive the water of Kawthar from His hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak hand inshaAllah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include you among those who will follow Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the sirat into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.